came to realize that what started out as a natural disaster became a man-made disaster.
We cannot control the natural disaster, but what we can do is control our response.
Have you ever wondered whether disasters are actually natural? If so, you're in the right place.
Hello and welcome. My name is Jason von Medding.
And I am Ksenia Chmutina.
This is Disasters Deconstructed, a podcast where we examine why disasters really happen.
Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, Ksenia, how's it going?
Hi, Jason. It's been 10 million years at least, approximately. I literally don't remember when we did the recording last.
I know, it's too long. Hey, everybody. Welcome to season 9 of Disasters Deconstructed.
Woo-hoo! Season 9. We had a kind of half a year break, leave, breakdown. I'm not even sure what to call it. But we are back, season 9, and it's going to be our fifth podcast anniversary, fifth year podcast anniversary. This summer. Yeah,
we need a big celebration, right?
We did a party. We discussed the Christmas special, right? So we need to think of a party that involves more than two people, which is very rare for us.
Yeah, we're good at the small parties.
Excellent. Micro parties is our second expertise. Disasters is first. This is great.
You can see a lot of effort goes into the micro parties.
I know. People underappreciate micro, but maybe we need to venture out a bit. But no, it's great to be back. I've missed podcasts and I've missed recording this. And I've been thinking a lot about season 8 because we finished on the high, right? Although there was a break, there was a lot for us to think about in terms of solidarity. And of course, we've been writing with our comrades, Darian and Wes and Kyra and Jacob about it. In our good tradition of talking about unpublished papers, right? Let's promote the paper that hasn't been published yet. But yeah, so it's been wonderful despite the long break. We're super excited to be here. And I think our listeners will be excited about this season because it's going to be quite different, and we'll talk about this in a second. But we also want to bring back a few things like regular live streams, but also book club, which I'm particularly very excited about.
If anybody else has ideas for live streams, we invite you to let us know.
Indeed, let us know, because we've been doing live streams in all sorts of formats and with all kinds of people. So it'll be great to know what you guys want to see and hear and perhaps suggest guests. We'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, like any events, any book releases, special issues of journals. We've had some really fun live streams before.
Yeah.
Around like new releases. So we definitely want to do more of that for sure.
Yes, please.
I've been like thinking about like just sometimes just going live to rant as well.
That is our superpower, no? Ranting whilst on live stream. So maybe we should do like a weekly 20-minute run from Jason and Ksenia.
If anybody would listen.
It's a surprise. Or maybe I'm delusional. Well, or maybe we choose like round the week. So people submit. Oh, I have an excellent idea. Here we go. People submit like different ideas for rants, and then we vote every week, and the top vote gets 10 minutes of air time to just go for it and rant, but they will be stopped after 10 minutes. So you're only allowed to rant for 10 minutes. So you have to be really precise. Okay. And then we get to discuss whether it was worth it or not. But yeah, what book are we going to read? Okay. Do you have any ideas?
Yes. So book group, this is what I was thinking. Outside the Asylum, Memoir of War, Disaster, and Humanitarian Psychiatry by Lynn Jones. I've been meaning to read this for a while. And I've read some previous books by psychologists and psychiatrists working in humanitarian sector or disaster response. And I think it's something that we maybe don't talk about enough, mental health
in
disaster. So I think it's timely. It's on my mind as well, just watching everything in Palestine too. And
yeah,
thinking of all the individual impacts on people that we just see as like figures on the nightly news. But for every person killed or injured, there's a whole family affected. their long-term impacts of war and disasters. Mm. Anyway, I thought this would be a timely book to read. We can do fiction next time.
I'll accept it. You will choose fiction one day, whether you want it or not. My mission continues. It's been a long, entire mission. I'm not willing to give in. No, the book sounds super curious. So if you want to join our discussion, please do. And we'll, of course, post the details of the book on social media. That'll be great. It'll actually be great to bring somebody from the discipline to talk about if you are indeed doing kind of psychiatry in humanitarian context.
Yeah, that would be great. I was actually reading fiction. I told you I was reading.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Salt Houses.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes. This?
It's so good.
Yay, nice.
Book by a Benin author, but it just like looks at three generations of a family, and like the character development is incredible, and just the like the stories, and like every chapter is like from a certain character's perspective. So good.
Oh, very cool. Okay, yeah, I've got it on my want to read list, which is it's endless. I'm not reading fast enough. I need to read faster.
I have a little bit of a plan to make my target. I don't know. I think I'm over 20 now. So what do you think? 10 books in 2 weeks?
Yeah, easy.
I have like 15 books that are half finished.
How can you do that to books?
I don't know.
That just hurts me.
I get so distracted.
I read maximum 3 books at a time.
Yeah.
Like one is for work. One is the book that I enjoy reading, and one is just some nonsense that I kind of have to read, but never more than I prefer to just have one book written.
Yeah, no, I go from book to book and have many unfinished all the time. Anyway, enough about my vices. I want to talk a little bit about the season. So we're going to do things differently this season. When we started the podcast, we really thought that we would quickly move into like local stories of people that we want to center and highlight, which are people most affected by disaster. And the way it worked out, that was made pretty difficult because of the remote nature of our podcast in the first couple of years with COVID lockdowns. And anyway, we've always wanted to. We ended up having lots of guests who are academics, researchers, practitioners, and that's a different perspective that you get from people who are living with disaster risk. And anyway, we thought for this season, we wanted to center local voices. We wanted to also center place, think about how risk is very much produced by geography, produced by the conditions in a certain place. And so in this season, we're going to look at 3 different places in the world, and we're going to have mini series that will explore each of these places. And then we're going to have a final live stream at the end with guests from each of the different mini series. And it's so exciting. I think it's going to be incredible. We really wanted to concentrate on people who are made invisible sometimes through the narratives that we create. And it relates to a lot of previous discussions we've had in Disasters Deconstructed about power between researchers and people who are dubbed as subjects of research. And we've been writing lots of things about this, around solidarity, about relationships between different participants in science. And so all of those threads have come together into the ideas for this season and these mini series. And I think there'll be lots of opportunities to explore power dynamics between those of us who are on the scholarship side, those in more in practice, and people who are doing incredible work at the front of community-led change. So I'm excited about the series. Well, each of the series and the season overall. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's also worth saying that each sub-season, each section will be narrated by a different scholar. So it's not you and I who will be narrating somebody else's research or talking to community. It's the people who are doing these projects on the ground they will be presenting in their voices, in the way that they see the project. You and I will just introduce the episodes if and when. And that's what excites me, that we are finally getting an opportunity not to put our own spin on it, if you wish. Because, of course, you and I interpret things in a way that you and I interpret things, and that may be different, and that we may read the results of the research differently from how, you know, the researchers do it and from how community understands it. And I'm particularly excited to finally show the examples of the research that has and is being done in the spirit of Manifesto, Disaster Studies Manifesto, and Disaster Studies Accord that we've been talking about for such a long time. I think, goodness, when was Manifesto published? 2019. It's been 5 years here. So we're testing my math. It's been 5 years since we talked about this. And yet, very often we get asked, is it possible to do so in real life? Yes, it is. It is possible to do research that is respectful, that is reciprocal, that kind of really is done with the community and for the community rather than for the sake of research, despite being in the context of neoliberal academia. And to me, that is so important to show that this can be done if it is thought through, if the community engaged from the get-go, if you are part of the community. So that's what I'm really excited about.
It makes me think as well, back to like our season about, I'm trying to think what the theme of the season was, but we explored lots of different early career researchers,
yeah,
of outlooks and approaches to research. We talked about very creative and disruptive radical methodologies. And I think we're going to see some of that coming through in the stories.
Yeah, it will be great. So let's talk about projects a little bit. So we will start the season with a sub-series from David Angel, and his section is called Effing Awful, Deep, Dirty, Dangerous Waters. I must declare a conflict of interest here, or I'm not sure if it's a conflict of interest, but Dave is doing his PhD under my supervision. And it is one of the most exciting PhD projects I've ever supervised, because it's just so very different. So Dave, he will of course talk about this in his episode, but just to give you a bit of an overview, basically Dave joined the Center for Doctoral Training that I'm working with. And his initial idea was to look at the sense of home once flood has happened, right? So how do people feel about returning to the houses? Do they still remain home? And his case studies are in two South Yorkshire villages. And Dave is, in fact, from that area. So he knows the area really well. He knows the people who have been affected by floods in 2019 very well as well. And what's interesting is that he looks at two different areas, one of which is affluent and one is relatively poor. So that already gives us a good understanding of how disaster has been unfolding, although the flood had happened 5 years ago. It is still ongoing. But this all kind of sounds pretty normal up to here, right? Well, okay, sense of home, flooding, what's new? But what's new is the way that Dave is actually using his data and then feeding this data back to community. Dave is using music to present his interpretation of findings. He is a musician. He's a musician composer. He writes music. He published CDs. So he's in that very unique position that he can actually write musical pieces that then help interpreting the data and kind of presenting data in a very different way. So what he's doing is basically creating collages of audio recordings and merging them with soundscapes and also writing original music that is his interpretation of how the interview went. No spoilers, I've heard some of them and they're fantastic. So I really hope you would enjoy it. And the reason this is so exciting is because I think we generally underestimate in disaster studies the role of kind of creativity and creative art, not in how the outputs of the study can be shown. Oh, here's a pretty poster for you, or I made the kind of series of videos after I finished my research project, but actually as a kind of representation and working with the community in creation of this music, to really try and understand other ways of bringing the voices of the people whose voices will never be heard. Of course, we have Barefoot Bob, who's our superstar and who has been using music for educational purposes, for raising awareness. We've had him in season 3, maybe? I can't remember. But I think everybody knows Barefoot Bob. So. And it's great. And recently, there's been more examples of creative art in disaster scholarship, like Gemma Sue is another fantastic example with her graphic novel. But creating music together with communities and incorporating participatory and creative practices into data collection and analysis and using kind of intuition and the researcher as the instrument to show voice is something really novel, I think, and something very exciting. So I really hope that everyone will enjoy this section as much as I have been enjoying working today.
Sounds incredible. I haven't heard any of it yet. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're in for a treat.
So let me tell you about the second series. So this series relates to ongoing work that we're doing in Jacksonville, Florida, with a coalition of partners. It all centers around a youth-driven action in the community. And so I've mentioned it at various times on the podcast in the last few years. We've been working there. The participatory action research has developed in a very organic way, in a really beautiful way, to include housing surveys, to include air quality measurements using sensors, and now to actually building air filtration systems for neighbors there who are dealing with poor air quality that's affecting their health. And so the whole study is all around the high asthma rates in that urban area. And so for this series, we really wanted to, first of all, this series is going to be brought to you by one of our local partners, Abdul Hai Thomas, works for the Center for Children's Rights in Jacksonville and was really influential in shaping our approach to using PAR in Jacksonville because they were already using youth PAR. And so that's been an amazing partnership. And also featured as a host of the series is Darian.
Yay!
Back again to partner with Abdul Hai to produce this series. So really excited about our hosts. Both of them are from Jacksonville and so bring that kind of local experience and background to the series. The way that the series is structured in Jacksonville, it's really starting off from history, and this relates to the way that the project is forming there. So we've been doing this housing and health study, and the youth have been really driving where that's going, and they also really are going in a creative direction. So in March, there is a mural in the community, the big wall, that's going to be unveiled, and that's going to have basically graphic histories of people who have made an impact in that community. And there's lots of background work going on there with different arts organizations to actually create those mural paintings, and the youth are going to be involved in painting the wall as well. And so the starting point of this series is really history of place, and in particular tapping into the characteristics of Black geographies in the United States and everything that is involved in the places where Black folks have been made to live, have been trapped or pushed, and the way that they have resisted and made those places vibrant and beautiful and incredible. So I'm excited about that kind of historical grounding, looking at especially Jacksonville and the geography of this health zone, which has been unjust and has caused a lot of these health conditions that people face. And then really moving from that understanding of history to talking about how people give and receive care to each other in this place. And so the second part of this is just about systems of care in Jacksonville, who's important, what places are important, what systems are important. So talking about care, and I think that relates to a lot of what we've been discussing in recent times in the podcast. And then finally, from talking more broadly about systems of care, really drilling down into the specifics of using science as a way to give care, and talking about participatory action research and the particulars of this project or series of projects and how they are actually creating change and creating trust in the community, mobilizing folks, and actually doing something that's like creating a better future, building something different when systems that are supposed to be serving the community are not, and in a lot of cases are not really supposed to, are not designed to serve them. And so how do we create alternatives? And I think we need to listen, we need to learn about creating alternatives from Black folks in there, because that's what they do every day.
Amazing. That sounds great. And of course, talking to you over the last year, even before that, I know what's been happening in Jacksonville, but it'll be just great to bring it all together and to let everybody else know. Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. And it's great to have Darren again. He just can't get away. We can't let him get away from us, for Darren. Once you're in.
Okay, tell us about the third series.
Third series. We're going completely international. The third sub-season will be about Sajak Nepal project. So this is a project that is based in Nepal, although it's funded from the UK, and the lead investigator is Katie Avon. And the project will be narrated by Amy Johnson and Jivan Bania. And the description is pretty generic in that we're using the local knowledge and new interdisciplinary science, and that's all to inform the better decision-making. But really, deep down, once you unpack that normal description, the project is very exciting because it is built on a very long-term community-based work with rural residents. So the people who are working on the project have truly co-created the ideas of the project together with the rural residents who are really far away from Kathmandu, where everybody else is doing research. So it's that really challenging those ideas of tarmac research that Chris Gomez and JC Gaillard, of course, talked about, and going to the places that are not accessible, that are forgotten, where the voices just non-existent almost, right? Because researchers don't want to go there because it's not easy. And so in this project, the researchers from Nepal and from the UK, they work together with the community to find a way to better articulate the needs for making better decisions. So how do we talk about making better decisions? How do we actually make the policymakers listen? What does it take? What are the kind of pathways for this? And so what will be covered in this season are three main things. The context, a little bit like in Jacksonville, will be presented, because I think it's really important to understand the dynamics and also the exposure and vulnerability in rural Nepal. It's very different from what we hear and read about the Gurkha earthquake, just because of the lack of accessibility. Amy and Jivan will then talk us through and will present community voices and the perspectives on earthquakes and landslides from community and from science, and how these contradict each other and how they clash sometimes and work together. And finally, they will be talking about monitoring slope dynamics. So what does it mean for the community? So it's quite a kind of hands-on project that really allows to understand different levels of thinking about a hazard and then trying to understand the social and political and economic and environmental context within which this hazard turns into a disaster in rural Nepal. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It will be something different. And of course, for us, there will be this whole translation challenge as well. How do we talk about impenetrable disaster study terminology, right? In a way that community discusses.
So I hope everybody is as excited as we are about this season. And we have given an introduction as to what you can expect. I hope everybody will be tuning in for every episode.
This is going to be a lot of fun. As always, please let us know what you think. And please send us your ideas for different live streams, because we really want to play together. And of course, read the book and join us for the book discussion. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you all for being with us today. And before you go, a few quick reminders about how you can stay connected with the podcast.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DisastersDecon.
The podcast is available on all the major platforms. Please download, share, and most importantly, subscribe.
And if you haven't already done this, we really appreciate your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. This will help us to continue making content for you.
You've been listening to Disasters Deconstructed. And don't forget, disasters are not natural. See you next time.